Okay, clogged pores. I've had it. You think I don't notice your pesky blackheads? It's all I see. Why else would I be dodging photos, yelling back up, zoom out, not so close? But now, I've got Biore Deep Cleansing Charcoal Pore Strips. With natural charcoal, they pluck out stubborn dirt, oil, and even blackheads in just one strip. So go ahead, snap away. With Biore, I have finally found the skin of my dreams. Biore, free your pores.
Hinky Winky was a bear. Hinky Winky had no hair. Hinky Winky wasn't very winky, was he? That doesn't work. That didn't work at all.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jerry with the shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounty guest?
Hitler. Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. This is episode 145, company from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about the Philadelphia 76ers, the Golden State Warriors streak, and Al Jefferson. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles. John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? I would like to thank Joey for his beautiful baritone and making us sound a little bit legitimate on this show. Also, it's Thirsty Thursday, so drink up.
Thank you for that. Company from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? Missing Jason yet again, but we'll try and make this listenable all the same.
I want to start this show off with my stat of the week.
Joey, stat of the week!
And it's big news, Laker fans. Nick Swaggy P. Young has just recorded his first assist to Kobe Bryant in the 3 years that they've been on the same team. Both are players that don't pass a ton, and it shows in the stat sheet.
Okay, so give me that stat again. What are you saying to me? Are you saying that Nick Young has never passed the ball to Kobe for an assist
or anyone?
Mostly anyone, but specifically Kobe. This is the first assist he's ever given Kobe in the 3 years they've been together.
Oh my God, that is so amazing.
Granted, yes.
That is so awesome.
Kobe's been hurt some. But you'd think that players that play a lot, that both of these guys log minutes, you'd think,
they would happen never by chance. On the court together.
Right, not never.
No, so give me a second here. Seven hours of court time together? That seems like a lot. Is that a lot?
I mean,
I feel like if you're on the court with somebody for 7 hours, you might throw them the ball.
And you know Kobe's shooting too, and he's getting the ball somehow. But not from Swaggy P.
Not from Swaggy P.
Right.
Also, Kobe does not hit a lot of field goals that were assisted to begin with.
That's true.
Sure, sure. Now we're blaming Kobe. Yeah, don't blame the victim, John.
I think Kobe would say he's the victim of no assists, but
that's my point. It's not Kobe's fault. Oh dear.
Will you make a crying YouTube video for this? I'd love to see that.
451 minutes of games played together, of game time played together.
It's just staggering.
Man. Jan Mahimny's got to be doing better than that.
That guy can get 2 assists a game.
That's what I'm saying.
If he puts his mind to it.
How many minutes did you say?
451. That's actual game, like, time on the court right. together.
In the same lineup together.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think they go to practice and practice not passing to each other?
I'm not sure that they practice on the same court. I'm not sure they maybe that 451 minutes is the only time they see each other.
Well, and Nick Young clearly doesn't see Kobe when they're there.
Clearly not.
Well played, Joe. Well played. Oh, dear. Well, you know what Jason always says is that Nick Young is the most gifted passer in the NBA, and you just have to surround him with the right players. So
I've heard him say that a lot.
I don't know what that means, but that's what just one of the things Jason always says. So.
I've never heard anyone else say it, but he says it all the time.
It's like his mantra.
We miss you, buddy.
We got other news this week. Philadelphia 76ers are going to be less bad here pretty soon. There's some news coming out that Jerry Colangelo, head of USA Basketball, is now, his official title is Chairman of Basketball Operations for the Phil, which clearly had not been a position at the 76ers.
Yeah, that's a
before.
Made up thing. I love that. Nobody has that on any team. I love that title.
But Harper, what are you hearing about what's going on in Philly?
Well, the word on the street is that the rest of the owners in the league have been pushing since the summer of 2014 for the league to do something about the 76ers constant tanking. And they finally done it. Colangelo is a good pickup for them, right? I mean, he's the guy that has been running USA Basketball. He's respected around the league. He's got 50 years of NBA experience. This can't make them worse. I mean, it's confusing, but it can't make them worse, can it?
Is it confusing? I mean, basically what I think Adam Silver is saying is the owners of the Sixers and Hinkie have had this plan to be bad and that was going to get them better, and yet they continue to be bad, and that this is no longer acceptable. This is bad for the league. It's bad for the image of the league. It goes to tanking. It's bad for the other teams because, you know, the Sixers come in and nobody's going to those games. You know, that hurts ticket sales and whatnot. And they said enough is enough. Hinkie, you're out of here. He's not actually out of here. He still remains.
No, he's in no way out of there.
That's not the confusing part. He remains the GM. Colangelo is going to have all input on what happens. They'll sit down at the meetings. Hinkie and Colangelo will, you know, make all basketball decisions together. But you know who has the final word on this? Colangelo. And that's definitely happening. He's going to turn this thing around. That's what he's been told he needs to do by the league, essentially. So I think you're going to start seeing some changes pretty quickly. And they're not going to take all of their useful players and turn them into more draft picks. You know, Hinkie's made some decent trades, to get picks. He's done some right things.
This week I'm drinking.
It's just gone on too long.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you name me one?
I'm drinking Gatorade because I drank all of the everything last night. What are you guys drinking out east here?
This week I'm drinking out west.
Yeah.
A little Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Hmm. That's a good one.
A little classic.
I'm drinking the Tsingtao.
Really?
Yeah. It's tasty to my palate. And I also have a South African Chenin Blanc as my backup.
So. Don't you have a green bottle rule?
You know what? I'm breaking it for this. Moosehead is one of my favorites, and I'm really enjoying this Tsingtao. So I might make an exception for the Tsingtao. It could be that I don't like. I'm starting to believe that I don't like domestic green bottles. Maybe that's my issue.
You think it's the food coloring or something?
I don't know. But apparently the Canadian green bottle is fine. Apparently the Chinese green bottle is fine. We'll see. I'll have to keep you all updated.
God, fans are just at the edge of their seats.
Fans, please send me green bottled beer, whatever you find that's in a green bottle, and I'll taste it and I'll decide. I don't know How do you do that? Tweet me that or email me the green bottles. I don't know how that works, but
well, you can tweet at UndaBeatles, and then Joey will tell John what is happening on Twitter.
Right. I'll telegraph him what the tweets were.
Sure. But I guess my point is that I think Hinkie has made some smart moves.
Can you name one of those for
me? Yeah, Michael Carter-Williams is not a franchise player, and they drafted him.
That remains to be seen, and B, compared to the talent that they have, absolutely he's a franchise player.
No, but if you're look, they traded him away for a pick that's going to be potentially, you know, the top seven pick this year, right? Isn't that how it works?
Well, you're saying they traded him away for a future draft pick?
Yes, and they have a chance to, again. I mean, and this is what they do, right?
They take good players
and they trade them away for good draft picks because it's the constant gamble. I thought the Michael Carter-Williams thing sort of made sense.
But it's worked out so well that the league had to be involved to stop what they're
doing.
No, look,
I've been calling for this to end. I think it's too much. But if you realize, at least they got some value out of Michael Carter-Williams if they realized that's not who they wanted to run their franchise. That's all I'm saying.
They were trying not to win games. They thought Carter-Williams was too good. They traded him.
No, I disagree. I think they're looking down the line and they're going, hey, look, this is not who we want to be the face of our franchise, or we don't want him to – we want to be bad because this isn't the guy that's going to make us as good as we can.
Okay, so we can at least agree that that's a marginal argument for a great move from a GM there. You got anything else?
No, but that's – no, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Getting Okafor – was kind of a no-brainer. The kid's good low post player, but he's kind of clearly having some problems, you know, as a young man there on a bad team with the law. Nerlens Noel looks good, but I'm not sure that he and Okafor work together. Embiid is still broken, which is terribly
sad. Well,
Jason
keeps telling me that Joel Embiid is the man. He's been behind that pick since day one.
He keeps saying that to me as well, and I don't know.
I was just surprised that he picked him up for fantasy, which was just it was a waste.
Twice? How did he pick him up twice? I don't know.
He keeps thinking he's going to make it, and you know, maybe he knows something we don't.
So, according to the league, Adam Silver spoke on Sirius Radio, and he says that all that he did was facilitate an introduction between the sides. That's what he said.
And said, I'm facilitating this introduction, so make this happen.
I feel like that should be done with like a Russian accent, though.
Right. It's behind closed doors in a smoky room.
Yes.
Sam Hinkie, I'd like you to meet Jerry Colangelo. You over there who owns the Sixers, I don't know your name. It doesn't matter. Come here. Right here. This is happening. Make this happen. Do you know who I am? Thank you.
So Jerry Colangelo, who is, I don't know. He certainly hasn't been forced into the position. This is a position that Jerry Colangelo is clearly okay with.
Yes, yes.
Right,
He's been wanting to get back in the NBA. I mean, actively in the NBA. He still runs USA Basketball, but I think he's been actually even actively trying to buy a team.
Well, so here's the kicker: Jerry Colangelo has been a four-time Exec of the Year in the NBA. He's got 50 years of basketball experience. Like I said, he'll be at least partial GM. It's confusing because we don't know what his role is really going to be beyond hands-on executive, but it sounds like there's some kicker where he could become a co-owner at some point. And this is according to Todd Windhorst, I think.
Is it Brian Windhorst?
Brian Windhorst, you're right.
He doesn't usually spread rumors too much. That guy tends to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So
why is it that the league steps in? Like, if they'd have stepped in and got some middle-of-the-road GM just as another voice, I would have got it. Do they have to go out and get the best guy for this team? Like, why don't they force him to be on my team? I want Jerry Colangelo.
Your team doesn't need as much help as the Sixers do.
Well, but this could potentially make them really good.
Oh, they're still really far from being good. Have you seen this team? They're 1-23. Nope. They're most of their team is full of players that probably shouldn't be in the league.
But it's they have a ridiculous number of draft picks over the next couple
sure,
of years.
Sure. And you know what? And we got Ben Simmons up on, you know, as the number one pick. Like yes, there's a great chance that things could turn around for them. But we've also could have been saying that for the last 4 years. With Colangelo at the helm, I think it'll turn around faster, but this is still a 3-year project to even back to respectability, isn't it?
But if they're offering, if part of the kicker here is co-ownership, he's a part of the 76ers franchise now.
Yeah.
Like, that is his team.
That's a permanent move that's going to make them better.
Yes, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
With the backing of the league.
He's without a doubt one of the most respected men in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And they get him because they suck? They get extra points for being terrible? Like, that's garbage.
I mean, what country is this?
But don't you sort of appreciate that? I mean, don't you sort of feel like... No, I mean, look, the league is taking care of stuff that's...
Of the owners?
No,
because it's really all about the money at the gate.
That's what they pay for, though. That's why they pay Adam Silver, is to take care of them. And that's what he's doing. Right.
But he's not taking care of us as fans. He's taking care of the owners.
Yes, yes.
He is handicapping every other team in the league.
No.
At the expense of making this one team better.
I would rather watch good basketball than watch Philly.
I would rather have a shot at Jerry Colangelo on the open market than see Philly get him.
Well, it's not like Jerry Colangelo has been sitting around and wanting to be back in the NBA for a couple years, so it's not like we didn't have a chance to sign the guy. You know, if you wanted him, that you can blame Larry for that, but... We've got Donnie Walsh sitting around. It's not like we don't have one of the great brains in basketball sitting around and being our advisor.
So you're telling me that he's been actively interested in taking all offers?
Yes.
And the only thing that really got him going was the 76ers?
No. I'm saying that Adam Silver went to him and said, hey, look, I know you're trying to get back into basketball, and I know you'd like to be on a good team, but here's what I have for you. And I need you to do this. This is a favor to me. I'll get you a partial ownership deal. This is how it's going to run. It's one of these handshake deals. I don't think Colangelo is that excited about the 76ers.
So then why is he going over all these other offers that he must have gotten?
I'm saying that he didn't get other offers. That's what I'm saying.
You're saying that no one offered four-time executive of the year Jerry Colangelo a job.
I'm saying that he's been interested in being back in the league for a while. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Or he was retired and Adam Silver forced him out of retirement. That's the other option.
Well, I'm just saying that the right offer hasn't come along, and the league has done something to sweeten it up. I mean, they're making him go to the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Like, that's messed up. And so maybe there's an argument to be made that maybe this makes things worse. By not canning Hinkie out of the gate, this whole thing could become totally bloody. But what you got to think is that not only did they bring in Colangelo, but there is a blueprint for who's actually in charge.
Yeah. I think what they're doing here is they're saying, hey, Hinkie, you didn't do anything wrong. The owners, you came in with a plan.
No, they're in no way saying that.
Well, no. But they're saying, okay, look, we see how this got here. Hinkie, you came in with a plan. The owner signed off on it. And, you know, hey, look, it's just gone on a little too long, buddy. They didn't shit can him. You know, they're sort of like being like, all right, you did what you're doing successfully what you set out to do, which is lose a lot. And so if that was your goal, then you're good at your job. And what they're saying is that can't be the goal. So basically he lost his power, I think. I think he'll still be able to, you know, make some decisions and have an advisory role, but Colangelo is going to be running the show.
Right. I mean, that stands to reason, right? The NBA doesn't have the power to fire him.
Right. The owners
any more than they have the power to make the 76ers hire Colangelo, but they can certainly apply a lot of pressure.
Right, which is what they did.
So Colangelo has effectively taken control of the Sixers. They're paying two people right now. I mean, for all I know, the NBA is paying Colangelo too. I mean,
I'm assuming that's the case. Yeah, well, I'm assuming this doesn't cost the Sixers that much.
That can't be the case. That would really be. Well, if that is the case, then again, I'm going to object as a fan, because if they're paying someone else's GM, I want them to pay my GM too.
Okay, good. Yeah, okay, you're right. They're not paying. That would probably be highly illegal.
It stinks of cigars, and this feels like something that happened in a speakeasy. I don't know. The whole thing.
Without a doubt.
The whole thing stinks. And I get the owners wanting someone to step in there and make this better, but it seems really unfair to me that they would get a guy of that caliber to go do that. If they were like, okay, go in there and fix it for 2 years, that's one thing. But when they're offering him team ownership as part of that, that stinks to me.
Like, oh, no, the whole thing
is... It's one thing to prop up the organization. It's another thing to rebuild it on the back of an NBA Hall of Famer.
This whole thing is shady as hell. It's totally disgusting. I mean, this is... Yeah, this is the same... I mean, it goes to... You know, it's similar to me of the situation where the Lakers were trying to trade for Chris Paul, and they shut down the trade for basketball reasons. Like, I don't know. It's just like these guys can kind of do whatever the hell they want and steer this, game in whatever direction they want. And that sucks. But on the other end, I'm also sort of going, well, I'm glad the Sixers are getting better because they're just so embarrassingly bad.
But I don't care if they're bad. That's not my problem. That's Philly's problem.
No, but imagine, like, I mean, not that I love Philly fans, but, you know, imagine you were a Philly fan. What are you doing? Are you jumping off a bridge at this point? This is awful.
Look, here's my issue. The conversation isn't, how do we get you the best exec that we can possibly find? Not only amongst active teams, but in the world generally. The conversation is, you either start trying to play basketball or we will start sanctioning you. That's the conversation.
Okay.
I don't understand why they went this road. This is garbage. This is unfair. This is not parity.
No, you make an excellent point. You know, hey, look, make a change or you start being punished, as opposed to, since you're so terrible, we're going to help you.
Yeah. If you're actively throwing games, we're not going to give you the number one draft pick. That's your punishment.
Right.
Maybe we'll give you the number two or number three.
Well, no. We're stealing your draft picks until you guys start winning 20 games.
Well, I mean, I think that you would have to do something.
You can do whatever you want. Apparently the league can do whatever the hell it wants. Yes. So if you just don't want them to, you know, ever get the number one draft pick, you can just make that happen.
Let me ask you this. Is Adam Silver moving into, like, Roger Goodell land right now?
No. I think this is all well-intentioned, and I think it's for the right reason.
Me that Roger Goodell doesn't have good intentions? Well, I don't think that's the case. I think he thinks he's doing what's right.
I think Adam Silver is way savvier than Roger Goodell. I mean,
Goodell's one of the savviest people on the planet.
Really?
That man still has his job.
And he's employed.
Well, I just feel like he's behind everything all the time.
Look,
he
may be Darth Vader, but he's still working.
Yeah, man. You know, like, he watches video of terrible stuff happening and he's like, oh, that'll be fine. We won't address that, and then it comes out and it blows up in his face and he's like, oh yeah, I should probably address that. And then I feel like he's four steps behind all the time. But whatever. I think Adam Silver is way savvier, and I think he understands that the Sixers is bad for his league and he's fixing that. I think that's what he's doing. So whether I agree with how
he's
doing it or not.
But I don't think he's fixing it.
No, he's totally fixing it. He's totally fixing it. Colangelo is going to help him fix that.
No, he's not, because now every team has an incentive to tank. Every single team, if they tank long enough, will get the best GM on the open market.
Colangelo is 76, so, I mean, he's not going to be able to do this forever.
So who's the next guy?
I don't know.
Who are they going to bring in to bail out the next team?
Get out of here, Hinkie.
It's garbage.
You're drunk. So, Colson, you're saying one of these moves is to get rid of Michael Carter-Williams. Yeah. That was one of these moves you respected.
Is the wrong word, but you're right. No, I thought that was a decent move. I understood why it happened. It didn't seem to me straight tanking.
So you don't want this guy to be the face of your organization.
Right.
But you know what he did? He went to Milwaukee.
Okay.
And he led the Bucks to beat the Golden State Warriors for the first time this season.
So my argument kind of sucks.
He single-handedly defeated the greatest team in the history of basketball.
Touche.
So the Warriors are 24-1 now.
Yeah, they just lost. Embarrassing. Yeah. It's just embarrassing for them.
Look, the all end streaks of their... must come to an end. Winning streaks, losing streaks. There's a reason to call streaks.
That was deep, man.
The Bucks beat the Warriors 108-95 a few nights ago.
95 points.
Last night.
What happened? Yeah. They just stopped shooting the basketball?
They ice cold.
Yeah, right.
No, they were jacking them up, but they were
yeah,
not
going. Yeah,
they got
88
down.
Up.
Mm. So the streak is over. Everyone can rest easy. They are mortal again.
This what bums me out about this is that it's in that gray area where they have more than the Miami's 27 wins if you count last season, and you know, and they don't have enough wins to match the 27 wins if you just count this season. So really, I was rooting for them to at least win 28 games so I didn't have to deal with this freaking nonsense. We're about, you know, oh, they've got the most records to ever start a season, or they have the third most in a season, or they have the second most if you count last season, like all that nonsense. So I'm really bummed they actually lost. Yeah. I wanted them to get to 28 and then to lose. So.
Well, don't worry, buddy. There's plenty of Golden State Warrior records to go around.
Okay, good.
They won't keep quoting this one. But first, let's start with the Bucks. Obviously, as Joey stated, they broke up the Golden State Warrior win streak at a very healthy 24. They also were responsible for beating the Lakers in game 34 after they ripped off 33 straight to start a season.
That was the Magic Lakers with Kareem and the Showtime Lakers?
Yes.
Okay.
The Showtime Lakers. So they have broken up the two longest winning streaks in NBA history, which is interesting because it's the Bucks. They weren't that good then. They're not that good now.
But the buck stops here. You know what I'm saying?
No, the Warrior stops here.
Oh.
However, in spite of that, the Warriors have done a lot of damage, even in the past week. As of the end of that streak, they became the first team to ever go 14-0 to start on the road. The previous record was 12 from the 69-70 Knicks. And previous to that, the number three, number four spots are owned by the 60-61 and the 61-62 Celtics. Any guesses on how many of those teams won a championship?
All of the above.
Yeah, that is correct, sir.
Good guess.
Yeah, very good guess. Any Celtic team definitely won.
Right.
You know, it's funny. Jason just texted his guess was zero, which is weird. I don't know why he would do that.
Yeah. Jason's been off his game recently.
Yeah.
For the past 15 minutes.
That French thinking.
More records. Steph Curry broke his own record again for most threes in a month in November. Couldn't mention this last show, but I didn't. He dropped 77 in November. That's a lot.
Pretty soon, the only records they're going to be able to break are their own.
Steph Curry became the first player in NBA history to average 35-5 for a team during an unbeaten month of basketball. I'm sure there's other weird stuff that you could pick up from a whole unbeaten month of basketball, but 35-5 is an impressive for any
stretch.
There
aren't a lot of teams that have done that, sure.
Well, there aren't a lot of players who go 35-5 for a month either.
I also still am unclear how he gets all these rebounds. He's like 6 foot tall.
I think Jason put it best. He's Steph Curry, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hustle and knowledge. I mean, we talked last show about how he sees the floor differently, the geography of the floor and how he gets those passes out of there. He sees the way the ball comes off that rim in a different way than other guys do. That's my floating theory right now.
What kind of geography is he seeing?
geometry.
It's a political map.
Yeah, geometry is what I mean. Okay. Oh, also geography though. I like that metaphor as well. Let's just
like
go
the
there.
Mountains.
Sure.
Yeah, it's more of a physical map. This is actually not a Warrior record, but it's still interesting. They came one win away from being the first team to ever sweep a seven-game road trip in the NBA in 284 attempts. I was shocked there were that many seven-game road trips. And they were close to that one. The BPI projects a 99% chance that they win 60 games, a 75% chance that they win 70 games, a 50% chance that they win 72 games, and a 36% chance that they win 73 and steal that previously thought unbreakable mark from the Bulls.
So they have a 33% chance as far as ESPN's power poll is concerned.
36, just more than a third.
Okay. Because they lost this game, I'm sure that dropped dramatically, right?
I doubt it.
I mean, as long as you're winning all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that stat wasn't based upon them going 40-0. I mean, yeah. That was based upon where they were at the time.
Yeah, you count on them losing some games, obviously.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not counting on them losing again, so... You don't bet against the Warriors right now.
No, no. I'll tell you what. In some sense, you got to think that this is like a load off the Warriors' shoulders, right? Now they can play free again. Because they looked so tight before.
Yeah. They were pissed that they lost this game. And they're not going to lose for a while again. I would stay out of their way.
The reality is they are as unhealthy now as they've been in a year and a half.
That's true.
This is not just a function of a seven-game road trip, which is all but an unbelievable – I mean, that's a Sisyphean feat, right, obviously, to do that.
Bringing up Sisyphus.
And then, obviously, what they've already been doing, and it seems really like Klay hasn't been healthy most of the season. They've been riding the shoulders of Curry, but they've been getting contributions from everywhere. If this team isn't healthy, they could lose some games.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
No, not buying it.
Yeah.
They're going to win anyway.
Yep.
Because of Luke Walton. Is it Luke Walton bump?
I think it's the Steph Curry bump.
Ah.
Yeah. Although Jason has always said that Luke Walton's the best coach in the NBA.
Yeah, long before he's never been a coach, head coach in the NBA. Yeah, that's the amazing
weird
part.
Yeah, it's the thing. He's been talking about it for years, which is odd.
You guys, I want to take a break here. I think we should check out the halftime music. We've got Flacco. This song is called Vans Halen. It's Vans plural. I like that.
Boom.
Check it out. We'll get a link to it.
I didn't understand any of that. What was that?
Don't worry, Joe. He's editing. We're already gone.
Am I going to like it?
Of course you're going to like it.
Okay, good.
That's all I don't like Flacco.
Wait. Do you have good taste in music?
No.
Then you're not going to like this.
Okay. All right.
I just hate Joe Flacco.
That's the thing.
Well, this is not him, so
okay,
we'll be all right.
So shout out.
Shout out. Shout out to non-Joe Flacco. Flacco.
V-A-V-A-N-S. I just killed my set, bro. Now I want my check, bro. Now I want respect, ho. Hit me up upset, whoa. But I never checked, no. Careful who you let, no. That I got that petrol. Switch up like Sinestro. Falling like a two-way day. My stew is like a Kumite. I'm higher than that union paper. Drinking since like noon today. Grab funny wallets. Add to the closet. Living in my head, girl. Pay me my deposit. Archer, then you drop it. Pop it for a profit. Top us in a sack and she just trying to get that doctorate. Really hate people, but I let the people watch. We was smoking reefer in the backseat of your Equinox. Bunch of niggas all around the loud, just like a speaker box. Trying to stack the Fetty to the paper top the sneaker box. Damn. Way up. Damn. Sway up. Damn. Wait up. Damn. M-I-V-A-N-S. V-A-V-A-N-S. M-I-V-A-N-S. V-A-V-A-N-S. M-I-V-A-N-S. V-A-V-A-N-S. M-I-V-A-N-S. V-A-V-A-V-A-V-A-N-S. V-A-V-A-N-S. M-I-V-A-N-S. V-A-V-A-N-S. M-I-V-A-N-S. V-A-V-A-N-S, M-I-V-A-N-S, V-A-V-A-V-A-V-A.
We're back from the break. Thanks to Flacco. Check out our show notes, and we'll get links to everything.
Way better than Joe Flacco.
Just a couple more topics we want to talk about. The next one, Al Jefferson, center for the Charlotte Hornets. It's still weird to me. I was so used to saying the Bobcats after I was used to not saying their name much at all because they weren't very good for a long time. But Al Jefferson, in a little trouble, failed a drug test, suspended 5 games, which he won't even get to start serving until he comes back from his calf injury. The violation of the substance is undisclosed because the NBA doesn't have to talk about it. What do you guys think is going on?
I mean, I'd love to be able to say that he was smoking some weed and that's what happened because whatever. I don't really care about that. But what you do have is a 30-year-old guy nursing an injury who just got busted for a substance abuse issue. Which makes me think that it's something a little bit more nefarious than that.
Well, yeah. Also, they don't suspend people on the first offense on this stuff. They just don't.
Well, whatever the case is, it's not his first offense.
Yeah. The organization, you know, says we are disappointed in Al's decisions that led to the suspension. You know, as an organization, we do not condone this behavior. We've addressed this with Al. He is regretful and understands that we expect him to learn from this mistake. You're right, Harper. He's 30 years old. This is not the first time he's been caught with this stuff because that's why he got suspended for 5 games. Yeah, I don't know. It's too bad because the tasteful side boob cats have been playing well lately.
Thanks for bringing that back.
I'm thankful that it's now tasteful.
That's right.
They're older, more mature than they are. They take care of themselves.
Worth noting, I believe, isn't his contract up this year?
Yeah.
I believe so. It's a contract year, which generally people are a little more careful in whichever substances they put into their body.
He's been absolutely fantastic. He's been one of the best centers in the league for a long time. It goes unnoticed because he plays where no one wins.
Well, but if you're one of the best at what you do, you win in spite of your team.
Just because he's not dragging his team to 50 wins by himself doesn't mean he's not a good player. It does mean that he's not a great player, though. I agree with you.
I don't know that I'm sad for him because I don't know what he did.
Sure. Like I said, maybe he had a really good time doing it.
Yeah, then I'm sad. Yeah, if he's doing steroids, then whatever. That's your comeuppance. That's what it is.
I guess what I'm saying is that I hope that this is something that is just a blip in the road and that it doesn't become a longer-term issue because I like him as a player and I want Charlotte to do well. I'm glad that they're playing well lately, and they look like they could be one of the top 5 or 6 teams in the East, and that's awesome.
Yeah, that's not happening. He's getting traded. Where's he going?
I'll take him.
You want him?
Yeah, I'll take him. I have no little post presence.
You want a 30-year-old injury-prone guy who plays high post?
I'm not trading anything for him, but yeah, I'd take him. Hell, he's really talented.
Then you can't have him.
You don't just get players for free.
No, for free. If he's a troublemaker, we'll get him for free.
Great. That's what we need.
No. Look, I'll give you.
I would take him for free. If the league wants to Colangelo him to me.
Yeah. Is that a verb?
It is now.
I will give you Solomon Hill, Jordan Hill, and a second round
all the
draft
hills.
Pick.
You can have all the
hills. No, you can't have George, though. You can have.
Oh, you can't even have George Hill for George. Al Jefferson.
No. I'll give you Solomon and Jordan plus a second round draft pick, and we'll see what
you drive a hard bargain, sir. Yeah. I will turn you down.
Well, I'll get you drunk and we'll talk about it again. That's how I roll.
What do you think? You think he's getting traded, though? I mean, legitimately.
No.
Do you think
No.
You think that Charlotte can re-sign this guy? at 30 years old with the team surrounding him? Do you think that they can re-sign him?
I think they're headed in the right direction. I think they realize they're winning, and I think they understand.
What makes you think they're headed in the right direction?
Because they're starting to win some games.
Because of PJ Harrison starting for them?
Like,
okay, so let me just say for my part, the counter argument to this is, why would Al Jefferson stay there? This team is not going anywhere. This team is the same team it's been forever. They have done nothing to upgrade. Michael Gilchrist is not the answer to any question that anyone has ever asked.
No, I agree.
I don't trust their coaching. I don't trust their
roster.
You don't
like Clifford, the big red coach?
I love his name that we gave him.
Didn't he just get re-signed for like a bunch of money? They love him over there.
They did just re-sign him for a pretty long-term contract.
They love him. I'm not sure that I really get it. They underperformed last year. I didn't have a lot of faith in them this year. And like I said, I don't trust the roster. If I'm Al Jefferson and I'm 30 years old and I've been battling injuries, guess what? I want to go to some place where I got a chance. And there's teams out here that want this guy. And so therefore, if I'm Charlotte, I say to myself, there's a 50-50 chance that this guy leaves.
And you better get something for him. Because the thing is he is what they do.
He's a great piece on a championship team. Right?
He's a piece on a good team, but he's not your best player.
He can't be your go-to guy. Right. Between the injury issues and everything else, he can't be your number one guy.
Agreed.
So he's got to go somewhere. The question is, does anybody have a trade for the guy?
Well, no, but here's the thing. The reason
Charlotte rolled the dice.
The reason Charlotte threw him a bunch of money is because they couldn't get a big they couldn't get a guy that was going to be able to carry them. They picked up a guy that's a good piece. They gave him a lot of money. And he's still there.
But they never put another piece around him.
No, I agree with that. But I think you probably try to throw money at it again and say, hey, look, you 2 years ago they were a 51 team, and they potentially have a chance to be, you know, upper tier playoff team this year. I'm not saying they're a contender, but I'm saying they could win 45-50 games again because
No, you don't.
I'm saying that. I'm saying they could. I'm saying last year was chemistry issues. Lance blew everything up.
Did we already talk
up.
About what we were drinking?
Yeah, we already did that. You only get to do that once a show.
All right.
You know what? I think this. We've talked just about enough about the Charlotte Hornets. I would like to talk about something a little closer to home. Two things I like. The Indiana Pacers and defense. Mm. We picked up a guy last season for offense, Monte Ellis. But I think this guy is sneakily a pretty good defender. You know, he gets in there in the paint, and he's not blocking shots, but he's stripping the ball out. I don't know how many times I've seen that this season, where he just comes out running away with the ball, leading the fast break. He does it a lot. We get a lot more steals, I think, than we did last year. I don't think he's an amazing team defender. He's not very tall. You know, he's always going to be undersized. But he does different things, you know.
Well, I think one of the things that probably the coaching staff needs to ask of him is to be taller. If he could do that, it might help.
But he's refused to do that his entire career.
Yeah,
God. I don't know. Carlisle couldn't make him do it. I don't think he's going to do it.
I love Monte Ellis. The kid is a player, and I think he's a great teammate. He's a great locker room guy, and I think he's going to be a great Pacer. Most of his stats, including defensive numbers for him, are still not as good as his career averages. And that's the amazing thing. As good as he's been playing and as well as he fits into and has bought into the system that we have, there is still a bunch of upside here. That's what's so exciting for me.
That's great. I totally agree with that. I mean, what I enjoy when I watch him play the game is he feels like an adult. He's a veteran. He's doing the right things. And he instinctively knows a lot of things and does a lot of things on the court. But that's just, he's going to get better the longer he's here. This is a fantastic pickup. Monte have it all.
Monte have it all. I don't know if anybody cares about defensive win shares.
Oh, I eat those for breakfast.
Gets me up in the morning.
That's right.
Over the last four seasons, Monte Ellis was 3.3, 2.1, and 2.2. This year, he's under one.
Mm.
To put that into perspective, for people who don't follow this stat, one of the best in the league, and Paul George, was 6.3 and 6.4 in 2012 and 2013 before the injury. And this season, where he's been playing some pretty darn good defense, he's 1.2. So I'd argue that there's just still a lot of defense out there for us.
Did you say Paul George is doing 1.2?
1.2 defensive win shares per game, yeah.
That means we're not playing great team defense.
No, that means that he is not getting credit for great individual defense. I would argue that we've still been playing pretty good team defense. But I would also argue
we're not kind of playing. We're not playing the defense we were playing 2 years ago, for damn sure. You know, we can say all day that we're, you know, there's more ball deflections and whatever, and we're still in the top five in the league in defense and stuff. But we're not even anywhere close to where we were 2 years ago. And
well, I think that was by design, right? They were to give up some defense for more offense.
No, I'm not. I agree with that, but. And I'm not saying that Paul George isn't fantastic. Has really changed how good he is at defense. We are just not what we were. And I agree with you. It was by design. We were giving that up. We're going to score 3 more points a game and beat everybody. So,
did you guys get that text from Jason that he sent saying that Paul George was not fantastic?
Really?
Yeah, that was weird. Right?
Actually, I didn't get that one. Was he leaving me out of that? Is there a circle issue?
Yeah, I don't know. It was surprising.
Yeah. And he said Frank Vogel sucks in an addendum. I don't know why.
Why would he do that?
Why he's doing this.
Why would he do that?
I think the French have destroyed his perspective.
You know, it's possible that I'm not on some sort of French text mobile app thing that I need.
You think there's a chance you're not on that?
He's on all the other French mobile sites.
Is it like Instagram? Is it at something or is it hashtag something?
No, it's like Slack. It's Frack.
It's Frack. Yeah, it's a French Slack.
I don't know the words that you're saying.
I think that's our cue.
Yep, yeah, that's it. Love you, Jason.
Yeah. Miss you, buddy. We'll see you soon. And actually, we should announce now. Colson, he's been promoted to our social media manager.
That's why we have such a big presence on the web.
Are you familiar with the web, though?
I am. I understand what the web does.
The interweb or the intraweb?
Basically, I just Google something and it tells me the answer. Google is, doesn't it come with every computer, the Google? I mean, Google's amazing. Yes. I googled animal group collective names, or animal collective names is what I googled.
Do you have some weird fetish that we're not aware of?
Well, no, because you know what is a
it's like
know,
a flock of seagulls, right?
Yeah, that's and they have just lists of that shit, and that's what I wanted, and it came up right away. It was super awesome.
What was the best one?
Oh, there's a ton of great ones. An unpleasantness of ravens.
What?
Yeah.
Unpleasantness.
Unpleasantness.
A murder of crows.
I know the murder.
Yeah. There's the Parliament of Owls, which I think is good.
They're very sage.
A crash of rhinoceroses.
What do you call, and I don't know the answer to this, what do you call a group of undebeatables?
You don't call them undebeatables? That would be very confusing if you didn't call them that.
Well, no. I mean...
You were in a quote unquote like flock of undebeatables, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Then that would be an awesome.
Oh, I like that. See, that's what I'm looking for.
An awesome of undebeatables.
Sounds good, right?
I was going to say a pod of undebeatables.
Oh yeah,
Because a pod is a thing.
Little on the nose, no?
Yeah. Porpoises are also in a pod, which is pretty cool. So it's us and the porpoisei.
And the orca.
In a pod, yeah. I also like porcupines are a prickle, so you get a prickle of porcupines. pretty clever.
You know, if you don't stop this, Joey, we will be here until Wednesday.
I'm kind of
okay with that, aren't you?
No, it's not that. I just, part of it's just, you know, you'd like watching a car crash. Like you watch it, but you know, you don't feel good about it.
A tower of giraffes.
All right. You can find us on
a
Twitter.
A leap of leopards.
We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com.
A labor of moles.
/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. We got t-shirts for sale.
A business of ferrets.
Are you serious?
That's what it says.
I knew these better than this. I guess I don't.
It's not a business ferret. It's a business ferret.
It's business. It's business time.
Oh, sing the other song so we can stop this.
For once and always, Coach Bobby Sick Leonard, now in the Hall of Fame. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Well, you could probably take, if you get on Google and type in singing lessons, you could probably.
No, so here's the deal. You guys taught me that I need to sing from my legs, and I just keep forgetting. I just keep forgetting. Sing from the legs.
No lift.
Yeah, exactly. No lift. So basically, I'll be ready next week. I thought I did well last week with your instructions, but I forgot. It's basically I need like a Monta Ellis constantly reminding me.
I think you've been singing from your beer.
Hit me in the butt and tell me to sing from the legs.
Yeah. Singing from his liver won't turn out well. It's an abused...
Singing Liver was the name of my band in high school.
Tis what it is, what it is.
Napa Know How.
The Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.